Okay. Just a reminder, the chalice on the altar behind me was from Luis's room. More than likely, Father Bucci was saying that St. Honorable might have used this chalice. It was given to him after Luisa died by his Aunt Rosaria. So, in one of the volumes, it says that Luisa looks behind her and sees all these people. And she says, Jesus, who are all these people? And Jesus says, these are the souls that I have given to you, that you would help them, you would guide them. And when you think about it, Luisa's, in eternity, Luisa's image, her face, is reflected on this chalice. And our faces are reflected on this chalice, you know, like in the eye of Our Lady of Guadalupe. So what we see is Luisa's image first, because she was alone in her room when the Mass was being said. The Mass was given, she was given permission by Pope Leo XIII and Pope St. Pius X to have daily Mass said in her room. So in this chalice is her image and our images. And I like to think of that hopefully we are the ones that have been given to Luisa by Jesus himself so that she will guide us into living this great gift of the divine will. So we'll begin at volume 11, 12, 17, 14. Continuing in my usual state was suffering, being very afflicted because of the privations of Jesus. After much suffering, Jesus came, making himself seen in all my poor being. It seemed to me as if I were the garment of Jesus. Okay, now this is why he shows Luisa later on that we are the skin of Jesus, that he lives in us. When people look, they see us, but in reality, it's Jesus. This is how, this is to be in God's image and likeness. We have to understand that we don't use I anymore. It's Jesus and I, Jesus and me, we. We want to make sure that we always give reference to Jesus first. Somebody says, you want an ice cream cone? You go, Jesus, let's have an ice cream cone. You know, it's, let's eat this together. Come, Lord Jesus, eat in my eating. Do you want to go swimming? Jesus, let's go swimming. You know, whatever. See, you want that intimacy with God, okay? So this is what he says. It seems, this is what Luis says, it seems to me as if I were the garment of Jesus. Then breaking the silence, he told me, my daughter, you too can form the hosts and consecrate them mystically. Do you see the garments that cover me in the sacrament? These are the accidents of the bread from which the host is made. The life which exists in this host is my body, my blood, my divinity. Okay, so you can't take this wrong. You're not a priest who is consecrating a host, okay? Just so that you know, you can't go up to an altar and say, this is my body, this is my blood, this is what a priest does. But you are baptized as a priest, a prophet, and a king. So Jesus is showing us that he is going to teach us how to form the hosts and consecrate them mystically. Do you see why there is nothing to be afraid of? There's nothing to be worried about. It's, we are nothing. If you think, wow, I can do this, God says you're not there. I mean, I'm not there. You see, we have to live in our nothingness. This is why the talk on nothingness is so important. It's essential. If you don't have the talk on nothingness, it's very, very important. If you don't live in your nothingness, you cannot live in the divine will. If you think that you're important, if you think that you're pretty good, if you think that you're a saint, God says, I can't use you. You know, the reality is we are sinners, number one. Reality is we're far from God. Reality is we are the opposite of God. God is great. We are nothing. God is strong. We are weak. God is perfect. We are sinners. See, the truth is not that we look at our misery, but we look how great God is, how great you are, how powerful you are, how holy you are. You know, Lord, I want... See, true love, Jesus tells Luisa, is opposites attract. Okay, that's true love. Look at your spouse. Okay? Opposites attract. And what happens is when you begin to live that life of falling in love with the opposite, you become happy. But when you want the opposite to be like you, that's selfish and self-centered. It's to fall in love with the opposite. To fall, this is why man and woman, this is why, you know, the other types of marriages that they're trying to promote don't work. You have to fall in love with the opposite. Because Jesus loves nothing. He's everything. And said, when we really begin to live in our nothingness, he says, how beautiful this is. I don't possess nothing, but I want to possess this nothing. So then what does he do? He fills us with divinity. He breathed into dirt. He says, I want this dirt to be in my image and likeness. That's how we form man. And now he wants to do this with us. So God is going to teach us, okay? And so don't think that you could go, you know, take this as you can consecrate bread and wine, okay? See, this is what he says. My supreme will is the act in which contain this life. This will develops the love, the reparation, the immolation, and all the rest that I do in the sacrament. The sacrament never moves from one point from my volition. There is nothing that comes from me which is not led by my holy divine will. Here is how you too can form the host. The host is material and totally human. You too have a material body and a human will. This body and your human will of yours, as long as you keep them pure, upright, and far away from any shadow of sin, are the accidents, the veil, in order to consecrate me and make me live hidden in you. So, God wants to hide in us. This is why he brings us to be alone, alone in prayer. Everyone has to be alone in prayer. You know, you pray as community, you pray as family, but you also have to pray alone. And this is what the rounds are going to be. The rounds, when we were in Boston a couple weeks ago, we were reading the first part. One half of the room read the first part, the second half, the second part of the room read the second half. And we went back and forth. And it's very beautiful. The families can do this. But if you're not with a family, be alone with God. See, you're not lonely. There's no more loneliness. You're alone with God. And as you begin to pray, as you begin to live this life, you're filled with divine light. I don't know if anybody saw NASA just recently. NASA just discovered between the planets, they photographed the sky, and they took all the stars and eliminated them. What did they discover? What they discovered was a unknown, powerful light that was greater than all the light of the suns combined. When they say, what is this? Well, we are discovering God. He is light. He is life. He is love. And the scientists have just discovered that when you take all the stars out of the sky, there is a powerful light that's there that's more powerful than all the suns and all the galaxies combined. Now picture that. When you look at the stars at night, you see how beautiful they are. The twinkling in the sky, how beautiful they are. But Jesus is showing us through science that there is more light behind those stars. That is, it's an unknown light. See, God is revealing himself to us in a way that the divine will is going to make perfect sense to those who say fiat. As we begin to live this life, God begins to show us things that were never seen before. You know, he is that living light. He is that powerful. They said it's like an invisible light. They cannot figure out what this is. Again, the thing that's coming to the earth, again, and this is the thing that we have to understand, is that which is never been seen. See, the cosmic event that's coming is going to so frighten those that are away from God that many people will die of fright. But for those in the divine will, it's going to be fiat. It's just, well, let's say yes to this because God is in charge. It's total docility, total surrender, total submission. Those are three words which are hated today. To be docile, to be submissive, to be surrendered to him is what God is looking for. That fiat. So, he says very clearly, this is why it's underlined, it's me, he says, hidden in you. As Jesus is hidden in the host, that host is God, body, blood, soul, and the divinity. And yet, the churches are empty. That host is worthy to be worshipped, to kneel down and adore him with your face to the floor. Now, that just reminds me when I was in Rome the last time, not the last time, maybe about three times ago, we stayed at the, I forgot the name of the group. It was the one of the oldest groups in the church. How terrible. My mind is gone. But they at consecration, they all knelt, and like the Muslims do, with their face to the ground. And I said afterwards, I said to the group, Maronites, I said, you're doing just what the Muslims do. And they got furious with me. They said, this is where the Muslims got it. It's to adore Jesus Christ, to have your face to the floor. I adore you and I love you and I praise you and I thank you. They stole it from us. And I went, sorry. But how beautiful. At consecration, everybody bows to Jesus. And the Muslims saw that. And now they use that to bow to Mecca. And yet, it's a Catholic thing. See, Islam is one of the greatest heresies of the Catholic Church. Did you know that? Okay, good. I'm glad you knew that. So this is what's coming. Our job is to begin to live this life, this Catholic life. And he says, Jesus, is going to be hidden in us. But he says, but this is not enough. It would be like the host without consecration. My divine life is needed. My life is composed of sanctity, divine love, divine wisdom, divine power, etc. But the engine of all that is my most holy divine will. So after you prepare the host, you have to make your human will die in it. You must cook it well so that it may not rise again. And then you will have to let the divine will permeate all of your being. And my divine will, which contains all of my divine life, will form the true and perfect consecration. Now, this is very important to pray this, to read this, to reread this until you understand it. It's all of a sudden it'll click on like a light. You'll go, oh, that's what he means. Okay? Jesus is teaching us, and he wants to be hidden in us. He wants us to consecrate him in us. And how does that work? He says very clearly, cook it well. Yeah, okay. He doesn't want life in us. He doesn't want the human life in us, the human will in us. He wants his divine will in us. Like we said at the last meeting, Jesus wants to teach us how to command. Not how to pray, but how to command. He says, you say to that mountain, move, and it must move. You say to that sycamore, be uprooted, cast into the sea, and it must obey you. See, Adam didn't pray, Jesus said. He commanded. And it's not me telling you what to do. It's not you telling me what to do. But the command is Jesus in us is talking. The command of God is in us. And so therefore what happens is it's not a negative, but a filled with love, filled with peace, filled with this great gift of the divine will. See, our God wants us to surrender. See, if we don't surrender, he can't reign. And that's where purgatory is going to come in for most of us. Because we haven't surrendered. We're not living docile lives. We're not living submissive lives. We're not living a life that is of God. So that's why a lot of people are going to spend a lot of time in purgatory. Because they're so in control that they cannot let God reign. And so that's what he says. My life hidden in you. So he says, therefore, this is what's great. Therefore, there will be no more life for the human thought, but only for the thought of my volition. It's divine thought, thinking the way Jesus thinks. And will consecrate my wisdom inside your mind. So it's not thinking humanly anymore, but thinking in a divine manner. Okay, well, What is a divine manner? It's divine life, divine love, divine light. It's not human. See, God wants to bring us, you know, when people say, well, I'm only human, it's a lie. We are not only human. We are called to live in God's image and likeness. That's not human. That's divine. See, read St. Peter. St. Peter always talks about being divinized. You know, when this is one thing that people don't even want to get near, divinization. That sounds New Age. No, it's of God. God wants us to possess His life. God wants us to possess His love. Our God wants us to possess His light, life, and love. And this is what He's asking. So He says, it's not going to be no more human thought. It's going to be, He says, which will consecrate my wisdom inside your mind, and no more form the life that for what is human, which human is weakness, human is inconstancy. But because my divine will shall form the consecration of the divine life, my divine will shall form the consecration of divine fortitude, my divine will shall form the consecration of divine firmness, and all of that I am. This is great. This is phenomenal. Now, you can't find this in any of the saints' writings. Jesus tells Louisa, you must become tells St. Faustina, you must become a living host. But doesn't tell her how. Why? This is Louisa's job to tell us how. And God is offering to us what He offered to Louisa. Do we want to become a living host? Do we want Jesus to be hidden in us? Do you want Jesus to be thinking in our thinking? Do you want Jesus to reign in us? And if we say yes to that, then He says, watch what I'm going to do. So He says, so each time you let your human will flow into mine, I, God, shall renew the consecration of your desires and of all that you are and that you can do. I, God, shall continue my life in you as if in a living host, not a dead one, like the host without me. And this is not all. See, God is gratuitous. He wants to fill us. He says, this is not all. In the consecrated host, in the pyxes of the tabernacles, everything is dead. Everything is mute. See, there's no life to give back to God in that host. It's Jesus. He says, everything is mute. There's no I love you coming back to God. It's God saying to us, I love you, but there's no reciprocal love. So He says, It's dead. There's nothing coming back. See, the blood flows into the heart. The blood flows out of the heart. The breath goes into the body. The breath goes out of the body. It's I love you, and we say I love you. I love you, and it's I love you. It's a competition of I love yous. And that's why Jesus says, there's no return of I love you back to me. It's dead. Not the sensitivity of a heartbeat. Not the rush of love which may return my great love. So Jesus is saying He wants to reign in us as a living host so that we can give back to Him this I love you. This is the reason for the rounds. This is the reason to pray the rounds. See, the devil thought he conquered when he stopped Adam from being the voice of all creation. All these I love you stopped. There was dead silence until Jesus and Mary came to earth. And the I love yous began again because they knew how to pray the rounds. This is the life of God. This is the life that God breathed into Adam. So when they left, everything was silent again until Louisa. And now, see, the face of the earth is going to be transformed as we learn how to pray the round of creation. As we've learned how to pray. Now, what we had before, the book of the rounds before, was written in 1995 before all the volumes were given, were released from the Vatican. The volumes were released in 1996. So if you read Sister Assunta wrote in 1995, she says, this is what we have put together to help us pray the rounds. Okay, that's all they had was volume 16 to 19, three volumes, and they tried to put this together. Okay, but how to pray the rounds is from volume 16 to volume 36. So you got 20 volumes, not three, of how to pray this. And now finally, we can begin to pray. Every word that's in the rounds comes from the writings. They're not. If you read Sister Asunta's, it's, you know, I give this, I give that, and that's not what the rounds are. It's, I pray the rounds. Okay, I adore you with Jesus' adoration as you, Jesus, walked in the fields. I adore you, Jesus, as you, Jesus, picked the flowers. See, it's not us doing something, but it's to reflect on what Jesus has done. I adore you and I love you for what you, how you looked at your mother. I adore you and I love you as you spoke to your mother. See, it's to do what Jesus and Mary have done. That they're the new Adam and the new Eve. This is what Adam was supposed to teach us, but Adam failed. He couldn't teach this to his children. So now Jesus is teaching us to the newborn, the firstborn, Louisa. And we have to remember, Jesus is the firstborn of the dead. Louisa is the firstborn of the divine will, of a human who's living this life. So it's not in competition with Jesus. Jesus is the firstborn of the dead. Louisa is the firstborn of living in the divine will. So we have to understand what God is doing. He's asking us to share this gift that he gave to her. So he says, if I didn't wait for hearts in order to give myself to them, I would be very unhappy. I would remain defrauded of my love, and my sacramental life would remain without purpose. Though I tolerate in the tabernacle, I would not tolerate in living hosts. So he tolerates no I love you coming back to him in the tabernacle. But he says, I want us to respond, reciprocal love back to him as we become living hosts. In the sacrament, I want to be fed with my own food. The soul will take possession of my divine will, of my divine love, of my divine prayers, of my divine reparations, of my divine sacrifices. She shall give them to me as if they were her own things, and I, God, shall nourish myself, feed himself on these living hosts who possess divine will, divine love, divine prayers, divine reparation, divine sacrifices. This is what we're giving back to God. We're giving back to God what is his. The soul shall unite with me, pricking up her ears in order to hear what I, God, am doing. And if you do it together with me, so as she keeps repeating my own acts, she gives me her food and I shall be happy. So you can see, we're giving back to God what Jesus has done. And I've seen so many, heard so many people say, you know, oh, I love you in the moon. I love you in the sun. I love you in the stars. I love you in the dogs. Well, that's nice, but it's not divine will. It's to give back to God what Jesus has done, together with Jesus. So he says, I listen to hear them do what I, God, am doing, and to do it together with me. She keeps repeating my own acts as if she were giving me her food, and I shall be happy. It will be as if it's hers, ours, given to God. Because we're doing it one with Jesus. See, Jesus is in ecstasy over who he is. God is so beautiful. He's so holy. He's so perfect that when the Father looks at the Son, he falls in love with the Son, and that's the Holy Spirit. God is so beautiful that when he sees us living in the divine will, he wants to devour us. We say that to babies. Oh, I could eat you up. You're so cute. I could just eat you up. And see, this is what Jesus is showing us. He's showing us that he wants to see his beauty in us. He wants to see his divinity in us. We become the garments of Jesus. We become the skin of Jesus. He wants to see in us himself, image and likeness. This is not a saintly thing. This is not a good thing. This is not a holy thing. This is a divine thing. And it's Jesus who's doing this. This is what he says. I want to see this happen. Only in these living hosts shall I, God, find the compensation for my loneliness. I, God, shall find the compensation of my starvation and all that I have suffered in the tabernacles for the last 2,000 years. Why? Because we are giving back to God what is God's. He's breathed into us this I love you. We're breathing out to him our I love you, which is his I love you. We're possessing it and giving it back to Him. Volume 12, 10, 20, 17. Having received Jesus, and this is in the Holy Eucharist, I was thinking about how I could give back love for love. And again, we have to think that. How are we going to give back love for love? Divine love for divine love. And it was impossible for me to be able to shrink and become smaller like Jesus does in the host who for love of me. This is not in my power, as if it is in the power of Jesus. And my beloved Jesus told me, my daughter Louisa, you cannot shrink all of yourself within the brief circle of a host for love of me. You can very well shrink all of yourself within my divine will. To be able to form the host of yourself in my divine will. For every act you do in my divine will, you shall make a host for me, and I shall feed myself from you as you do from me. Do you understand what this is? Every act is food for Jesus. Come, divine will, come walk in my walking. It's a divine act of Jesus. He's walking in our walking. And we can feed that to Jesus. He sees the beauty of himself in that act. And therefore, God can nourish himself on us. So again, what is a living host? A living host is to feed Jesus. We have been fed now for 2,000 years on the host of Jesus. Now he says, I want to feed on you. But I'm not going to eat human. I want to eat divine. I want to taste divine. I want to see divine. I want to see in your seeing. I want to hear in your hearing. I want to walk in your walking. I want to talk in your talking. I, God, want to reign in you. So this is what we're doing. He says, I shall feed myself from you as you feed from me. This is extraordinary. And this, again, the Vatican is reading this, and the Vatican knows this is true. But again, they are at a point of, well, what do we do? Everything has to change. It's a new beginning. This is why St. Padre Pio said, the world and the church will focus on Luisa Picaretta and the divine will in the third millennium. Well, we're in the third millennium. And so therefore, Jesus is saying, watch what I'm going to do. How holy the church is going to be. See, that's why he says in volume 24, every Jew will be converted. Every Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, Protestant will become Catholic. The universal life that God breathed into Adam was the Catholic faith. And now he wants everyone to have this faith so that there will be one church, one flock, one shepherd. This is what God has in store for mankind. This is why the sign of the times for us is Louisa and the divine will, the book of heaven. And as we read this, there's no more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity. Your children are far from the church. You do what Jesus wants, he says, and I'll do what you want. You want your children back? Come live in my divine will. Become a living host. Let me feed on you. Let me see me reigning in you. Don't think human thoughts anymore. Think divine thoughts. Let me think in your thinking. See, that's the way you understand this gift of the divine will, is you begin to think the way Jesus is thinking. See, this is why sometimes the theologians have a hard time with this, because they're thinking humanly. And to live in the divine will, you have to think divinely. And as you begin to read this, how beautiful it is. There's one person who says that they have eliminated all the heresies that are in the writings of Louisa. First of all, they haven't read the writings because Jesus says there's no heresies in this. You can't eliminate anything and say it's a heresy. As you begin to live this and see from the mind of Christ, you go, my goodness, how great our God is that he is doing this. He, the Lord, is doing this. So he says, and what forms the host? My own life in the soul. So we're saying to Jesus, come, divine will, come breathe in my breathing. Come, divine will, come beat in my heart beating. Lord Jesus, reign in me. Live in me. Walk in my walking. Let everything that I think, say, and do throughout the day be you, Jesus, living in me. It's total surrender, total docility, total submission. And what is my divine will? Isn't it the whole of my life? Therefore, you too can become host for love of me. The more acts you do in my divine will, the more host you shall form to give back to me love for love. So how our God is going to do this is through our surrender. Volume 12, 3, 27, 18. I was lamenting to Jesus, for I could not even listen to Holy Mass. And my Jesus told me, my daughter, am I not the one who forms the sacrifice? Now, since I am present in each sacrifice, the soul who lives in with me and in my divine will remains sacrificed together with me, not in one Mass, but in all the Masses. She was lamenting because she couldn't go to Holy Mass. Okay, something happened at that point, and she couldn't attend Holy Mass. So it's not that she anything else was happening. And she says, Jesus says, look at Louisa. What's more important, that you attend one Mass or but live in the divine will and attend all Masses? See, now there might come a time, a point in our life where we won't be able to go to Holy Mass. And Jesus says the same thing to us. Are you going to lament over not going to one Mass? Or do you want me to bring you to all the Masses? To participate? See, there's no time or space with the divine will. Do you want to participate in all the Masses that have ever been said? From the first Mass to Calvary to all the Masses to the end of time. See, that's a divine thing. Humanly, it would be impossible. But in the divine will, Jesus lets us participate in what he has done. And since she lives in my divine will, she remains consecrated with me in all the hosts that ever existed. We're one with God, fused with God. See, our Lord has great, great plans. And it's the saints, I'll tell you, the saints would love to be alive today. What God has given to his church is astonishing. What God has given to his church is, it's everything. It's what he breathed into Adam. It's the preternatural life of integrity, impassibility, immutability, and immortality that has not been seen by any of the saints. But Jesus breathed this into Louisa, and God wants to breathe this into us. And as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, our whole life changes. There's no more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity. Volume 12, 6, 20, 18. In Louisa, the one who does my divine will and lives in my divine will. See how he's changing it from does and lives. My love does not find obstruction. I, God, love Louisa. And I have so much predilection for Louisa that I myself take care of all that is needed for Louisa, both help and direction. Okay. Now, if we're linked to Louisa, God will do the same thing with us, both in help and direction, both unforeseen aids and unexpected graces. So again, this is, don't worry about anything. God is going to give you unforeseen aids and unexpected graces. God is going to do this. Okay, for us as well, as he did with Louisa, if we're linked to Louisa. So I reach so much jealousy of love that I give, if I give to priests the authority to consecrate me in the sacramental hosts so that I may be given to souls, I reserve for myself the privilege to consecrate these souls as they keep repeating their acts in my divine will, as they resign themselves, and as they make the human will go out in order to let the divine will enter. What the priest does over the hosts, I, God, do with these souls linked to Louisa in them. And not only once, but every time she repeats her acts in my divine will. The soul, Louisa, and those linked to Louisa, calls me as a powerful magnet, and I, God, consecrate Louisa and the souls linked to Louisa like a privileged host repeating over her the words of consecration. So here, Jesus is doing this. Again, how great this is. I do this with divine justice because Louisa, the soul who does my divine will, sacrifices herself more than those souls who receive Holy Communion. But do not do my divine will. Okay, so doing the divine will, it's the sacrifice of sacrifices. It's not to give life to your human will anymore. They, the souls linked to Louisa, empty themselves to take on me. They, the souls linked to Louisa, give me full dominion. And if needed, they are ready to suffer any pain in order to do my divine will. So I, God, cannot wait. My love cannot contain itself from communicating me to these souls linked to Louisa until when it is convenient for the priest to give them the sacramental host. So he's going to do this more than 1 hour a day that the priest can give the sacramental host. Therefore, I, God, do everything by myself. Oh, how many times I communicate myself before the priest feels comfortable to communicate himself. And if this were not the case, my love would remain as though hampered and bound in the sacraments. No, I am free. I have the sacraments inside my heart. I am the owner, and I can exercise them whenever I, God, want. And while he was saying this, he seemed to be wandering everywhere to see if these were the souls who did his divine will in order to consecrate them. So you see, Jesus is, are we learning how to do our acts and our rounds in the divine will? Are we, as he says, are we doing everything in the divine will? That's why we start the morning with a prevenient act, and then we do our actual acts throughout the day. Why am I washing the dishes? I'm washing the dishes in the divine will. Why am I writing a letter? I'm writing a letter in the divine will. Why am I combing my hair? I'm combing my hair in the divine will. See, Jesus is saying, he wanders to see if these souls who did God's divine will, why? In order to consecrate us as living hosts. How beautiful it was to see Lovell Jesus making his round as though in a hurry, doing the office of priest, and to hear him repeat the words of consecration over those souls who do his divine will and live in his divine will. Oh, blessed are those souls who, by doing his most holy divine will, living in his holy divine will, receive the consecration of Jesus. See, as he says, we can do this by allowing Jesus to do it. I mean, it's our desire. Do we want to be living hosts? Do we want this? This is how we started. You can do it. Now he's saying, how is it going to be done? It's Jesus himself as high priest. He's going to do this. Why? Adam was a priest. Adam was supposed to teach his children how to do this. But he failed. So Jesus, the high priest, comes. He shows Louisa. He teaches Louisa what Adam should have taught us. And now from Louisa, the newborn living in the divine will, now from Louisa, we also can participate in what God did for her if and only if we're linked to Louisa. Volume 12, 2619. My daughter, as the soul keeps enclosing my divine will and loves me in my divine will, she encloses me. And loving me, she forms around me, Jesus, the accidents in which to imprison me, forming a host for me. Okay, so as you love the divine will, as you love Jesus, as you enclose Jesus within your acts, when you focus on Jesus, forms around Jesus the accidents in which he can then imprison himself, forming a host for us. So if she suffers, if she repairs, etc., it encloses my holy divine will. She forms many hosts to communicate me and to satisfy my hunger in such a way in which the divine is divine and worthy of me. See, only in the divine will. As soon as I see these hosts being formed within the soul, I go and grab them in order to feed myself, to satisfy my insatiable hunger, that the creature render me love for love. Therefore, you can say to me, you have communicated me, and I too have communicated you. See, it's to feed on God, and now God wants to feed on God in us. See, we image and likeness. And I, Jesus, my hosts are your own things, while yours are still yours, so I always remain below. And I, Jesus, for one who really loves me, I cannot consider this, nor do I want to. Then in my hosts I give you, Jesus, and in yours you give the whole of Jesus as well. Do you want to see it? And I said, yes. Okay, so now he's going to teach. He's going to show us. Okay, it's the same thing for us. Do you want to see this? Do you want to experience this? Do you want to know this? And when we say yes, Jesus is going to teach us. And that's why as you reread these, it's not just to read it once and then you're done. But as you reread these, a new beginning happens. A new beginning that is so astonishing that you will be filled with peace, joy, and happiness. It won't be a life of earth. It will be a life of heaven. Do you see why Jesus made sure that Louisa was alone? He made sure that she was alone so that he could dwell in her. He could reign in her. He could make her a living host, the first of many. And that's what he wants to do with us. So he stretched out his hand in my heart. He took a tiny little white ball, broke it, and another Jesus came out from within it. And he says, do you see it? How happy I am when the creature arrives at being able to communicate myself. Therefore, make me many hosts, and I shall come to feed myself in you. And you shall renew for me the contentment, the glory, and the love of when I communicated myself in instituting my sacramental presence. So here Jesus is saying, every act that you do in the divine will is a host for Jesus to taste, to feed himself on. Come divine will, come walk in my walking. Come divine will, come beat in my heart beating. In the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. That's almost infinite hosts. See, as Catholics, we understand how one host is all of Jesus Christ. And if you have 1,000 hosts, each one is Jesus Christ. Now, since we know this already because of our faith in the Holy Eucharist, Jesus is now teaching us for every act, every step that you make in the name of everyone, whoever took a step, these are how many hosts that Jesus can feed himself on. Why did God breathe into dirt? He breathed into dirt so that this dirt became man. And he then could receive from this dirt living lives of himself. In the acts that Adam did, and the acts that Adam was going to teach his children. But because Adam fell, it stopped, and the devil was happy. Now, with Louisa, as Our Lady's crushing the head of Lucifer, as this crush is happening, the tail is swarming all over the place, trying to destroy as much as he possibly can, yet Jesus is teaching us that we now can feed God the way he wanted to be fed from the beginning of time. He wanted to be held from the beginning of time. See, our God is very humble, and he wants to be held, he wants to be fed, he wants to be loved. And that's our job. He breathes into us his love, and we breathe it back to him his love. It's not ours. To share in the image and likeness, this is what God is looking for. So he says, do you see it? How happy I am when the creature arrives at being able to communicate myself. Therefore, make me many hosts, and I shall come to feed myself in you, Louisa, and the souls linked to Louisa. You shall renew for me the contentment, the glory, and the love of when I, God, communicated myself in the institution of my sacramental presence. How glorious is this? So we'll end there, and we'll begin with the Holy Rosary at 11. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.